Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. We're learning more now about a former Republican candidate's arrest in New Mexico. CBS's Steve Futterman has details.
Investigators say Solomon Pena hired people to shoot at the homes of two county commissioners and a pair of New Mexico state senators. Kyle Hartzik is with the Albuquerque Police Department.
The evidence that we have is not only firearm, but it's also from cell phones and electronic records, surveillance video.
Police say in one of the attacks, Pena went along with the shooters and attempted to fire a gun himself, but it malfunctioned. Pena has a criminal record. He spent 5 years in prison. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
President Biden's taking more heat over his handling of classified documents. But CBS's Adriana Diaz tells us what the term classified actually means and whether it's really common for that material to leave the White House.
Presidents and vice presidents can take classified documents home with little accounting of what they have and where, says former acting CIA director Michael Morell.
They're cut slack because of who they are. And I think that's what has to end. Somebody needs to be put in charge of knowing what information has gone to the residents and making sure that that information comes back.
Ukrainian soldiers are learning how to use Patriot missiles. U.S. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
Training has begun, as we've talked about before. That training will last for several months and train upwards of 90 to 100 Ukrainians.
This system will help protect Ukraine against Russian missile strikes. TSA found a lot of guns last year.
Last year, more than 6,500 were found at more than 260 airports. Nearly 90% of them were loaded. The most firearms were found in Atlanta with 448. Just over 130 were discovered at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport, but one of them involved a gun stuffed inside of a raw chicken. The agency posted on Instagram, lamenting the smuggling attempt as a waste of time. Allison Keys, CBS News, Washington.
Gas prices are going back up. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The national average for a gallon of gas is now $3.32.
The national average increased about 5 cents last week, which is a little unusual because gasoline demand, meaning the number of people who are, you know, fueling up, was actually rather low last week.
AAA's Andrew Gross says they're up because crude oil prices are up, too. Jeremy Renner has been released from the hospital and is now recovering at home. The Marvel actor suffered serious chest injuries and says he's still dealing with some brain fog after getting run over by a snowplow on New Year's Day. Doctors say it could take him at least 2 years to recover. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with unbelievable extended end-of-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right. Start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL. Steel.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building. Act fast, because for a limited time only, General Steel is extending its end of year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Don't flip a coin and let the odds of heads or tails decide which bank you choose to work with for your home loan. Huddle with the mortgage professionals at Key Savings Bank, 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, and the town of Rome. You'll find experienced coaches who will help pull together your game plan. No out-of-bounds advice or pump fake offers. You just get that all-important home field advantage. Key Savings Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Key Savings Bank.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. A sex offender is being released in Marathon County. Tyler D. Custer has reached his mandatory release date from his prison sentence. Tyler Custer will be released back into Marathon County on January 24th and placed on intensive supervision by the Wisconsin Department of Corrections until January 30th of 2030. Wisconsin Republicans want to put welfare on April ballots statewide. The Senate takes up the advisory referendum bill today. The proposed question would ask if able-bodied, childless adults should have to look for work in order to get public benefits. It hardly matters since jobless Wisconsinites already have to look for work to get food stamps and unemployment. The move is seen as a way to drive voter turnout for conservatives running for state Supreme Court. In sports, the Bucks host Toronto tonight. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight Thursday morning and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. Cloudy skies tonight with lows around 27. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs around 33 tomorrow. Snow likely tomorrow night, 27. Overcast. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Liability, responsibility, and gullibility. We must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a two-for-Tuesday edition. Both Devils in-house. How you doing, Dominic?
Hey, Crudy. I am awesome. Evan on the board. Our fair audience. Great to be back, man. All fired up and ready to go. What's been going on since I've been gone?
You know, we had such fine co-host in your absence. The audience is like, Dom was gone?
Come on. Well, thank you for all those fine folks who stepped in to fill the breach.
I don't want to forget anyone, but William Walter yesterday, someone just rode by in a golf cart. I didn't know you could ride golf carts on the sidewalks here in Madison, but there he goes. William Walter, singular, yesterday from our Wisconsin Revolution. We had James Santel on Friday. I had... who else? We had
Matt Rothschild.
Yeah, Batman.
Yeah, nice.
A lot of helpers, a lot of co-devils. But it's always good to have you back where you belong, Tom, in a undisclosed location, a bunker off Brady Street somewhere.
Awesome, man. Great to be back.
Well, Dom, while you were gone, it was just as bad as it ever was. You missed nothing, absolutely nothing.
So more of the same.
Let's start with perhaps the most important race in America, Dom, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And before we can talk about the race itself, I think we've got to talk about, you know, why it potentially matters. Why does a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court matter? Why is this potentially one of the most important races in America, Dom? Well, theoretically, it's cases like the one before it today. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, in its current makeup, which is 4-3 conservative, is hearing a case. And the ruling in this case could really affect all sorts of different ways that medical care is administered in the great state of Wisconsin. And I'm already ready to make a bold prediction right from the top here, Dom. Don't like doing math on the radio, but here's the outcome. I already know the outcome. I haven't even read all of the article yet. I'll share some with you, our fair audience. But here's the outcome of the case. Here's the vote total. 4-3. That will be the ruling. 4-3.
I disagree, Crudy. And I have read the article, and I say this will be a unanimous vote.
Oh, you're so wrong. perhaps more wrong than you've ever been.
I don't know, man. I don't know. And I'll tell you why.
Unanimous. Please do. Please.
Well, let's get into it. I have my sources. I have my facts. I have my reasons, Curdy. So let's jump in, shall we?
Oh, please do.
Corey has reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is deciding whether a local hospital, whether a hospital should have been forced to give a patient ivermectin to treat COVID-19, a ruling that will have implications on how the court can intervene in decisions of healthcare providers. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case of Gahl, G-A-H-L, versus Aurora Health on Tuesday. When Alan Gahl's uncle, John Zingsheim, was put on a ventilator in October of 2021 due to complications from COVID-19. He got a prescription for ivermectin from a doctor not associated with Aurora Medical Center Summit, where his uncle was hospitalized. When doctors at Aurora refused to provide and administer the drug, Gahl sued. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has not approved the use of ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID-19 infections and has warned users about its potential risks to those who are infected. The Waukesha County Circuit Court ordered the hospital to give Zingsheim the ivermectin, but then the judge revised his order, saying Gahl would have to supply the drug and a doctor to administer it, according to Wisconsin Public Radio. The case then went to the Court of Appeals at District 2, where the majority concluded the court had no legal authority to force Aurora Health to administer the drug. The litigation center of the American Medical Association and the state medical societies and Wisconsin Medical Society filed briefs with the Wisconsin Supreme Court urging the court to affirm the appellate court ruling that found the law doesn't give a patient or a patient's agent the right to force private hospitals or physicians to administer a particular treatment that they conclude is below the standard of care. Quote, holding otherwise would allow courts to compel treatments that the medical consensus finds to be substandard, the brief states. That outcome forces Wisconsin physicians to choose between the law and their ethical duties, potentially exposing patients to harm and physicians to liability. In a statement, Crudy, Aurora Healthcare said the health and safety of patients is the top priority, which is why physicians rely on evidence-based treatments.
Then who brought the lawsuit? Why would it have merit? Why would it have climbed all the way from, what, Judge Shelley Grogan's Waukesha County courtroom, all the way to the esteemed Wisconsin Supreme Court? If there was not merit, if you couldn't force the hospital to do this, then why is it all the way at the highest court in the state?
Because you keep appealing the losing ruling? I mean, that's why, Crudy. Aurora, here's what they said. We strongly believe the court should not be allowed to compel providers to administer care that is medically substandard, and we are pleased that the American Medical Association and the Wisconsin Medical Board have weighed in to support our position. Gahl's attorney, Karen Mueller, said the case would show the people of Wisconsin if, quote, they really have any rights, or if they are just suggestions. And if they are suggestions, then why do we have a legislature? Mueller finished third in the August 9th Republican primary for attorney general. She received 25% of the vote with a campaign promise to investigate hospitals for not treating COVID-19 with ivermectin. So we know where she's coming from. On Tuesday, Mueller said hundreds of people are dying in hospitals because they're having a drug withheld from them. She tied her campaign to former state rep Crudy's buddy, Tim Ranthan, who ran unsuccessfully in the Republican primary for governor. He and Harry Waite, leader of the Racine County-based group known as HOT Government that promotes false claims of voter fraud in the 2020 election, attended the Supreme Court hearing. I mean, this is all mega all up in here, Crudy. So why is this going to be unanimous? Because if it's not, if you can, as a patient, walk into a hospital and force them to give you whatever drugs you deem necessary, everyone's going to go there for their opioids, Crudy. Oh, my back hurts. I need some opioids. Oh, I got to have a procedure. Give me some opioids. I mean, it's going to open the floodgates. There's no freaking way that this could ever, ever happen.
Are you sure?
Are you yes,
absolutely
I'm
sure?
Sure. Yes.
I did get a small part of my earlier statement wrong. The lower court was Judge Lloyd Carter presiding in the Waukesha County Court. It was the appellate court Judge Shelley Grogan that overturned the lower court's ruling. But here's the distinction I would draw. This patient had a prescription from a medical provider. This wasn't you saying, hey, man, give me my drugs. This was something a little different. This was something where a different medical provider said, this is the appropriate course of treatment. And first, the judge, the one, let me make sure I've got the proper judge here, Judge Lloyd Carter said, okay, Aurora Health must administer this drug at the direction of a outside of Aurora Healthcare's directive. And then came back and revised his decision and said, okay, but then you got to find an outside provider. You know, you got to bring someone willing to administer this drug. But Dom, if you had a doctor in your back pocket, if you had Dr. Feelgood that showed up at Aurora Health with your drugs, well, under the lower court's ruling, God bless. You want more opioids? Call Dr. Feelgood. As long as he brings them down to the clinic, you can have them. I think you are going to be sadly surprised at just how wrong you are again.
What? Come on, the first judge already revised it. Then they lost in the appellate. Now they're going to lose again in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now, Will, you say it's 4-3. I say no way. I mean, come on. Think about
4-3. 4-3.
4-3. You say it's 4-3. I say no way. I think it's going to be unanimous. It cannot possibly be. You have the hospital associations, these physician associations. They're all against it. They have ethical duties, man. So you get someone in your back pocket from another insurance hospital provider, God knows where, right? Maybe overseas. I mean, who knows? Doesn't matter. No one's saying that you as a patient cannot have ivermectin, but you can't force a hospital to give it to you because you want it. You can go down the street, you can go to your vet, you can go buy it there. But you cannot force a private entity to give you substandard health. Hell's not even approved by the FDA. If someone takes too much ivermectin and dies from it, Crudy, then they're going to sue everybody, and they would be right to do so, because it is not an approved drug or remedy for COVID-19.
What about our buddy, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's right to try all the drugs bill? That was signed into law.
You can try it, but you cannot force Aurora to give it to you. So
you cannot.
I mean, I'm down, man. You want to try it? Try whatever eases your pain. I am down with. But there is a standard for medicine in this country, man. And if you say yes, you can have ivermectin. You can force your hospital to give you ivermectin. Then you can force your hospital to give you every treatment for everything. And that's, of course, never going
to
happen.
You know what you're trying to do, man? You're trying to solve this problem with logic. And that's your shortfall in this case. Logically, it should be a unanimous 7-0 decision defeating this effort. The gall effort that, you know, forced me to try all the drugs or, you know, whatever, right? But here's where your logic breaks down, and it always does. This is an ends justifies the means court. The conservative bloc, the three conservatives, and then Hagedorn, he's a little bit of the swing vote, the judicial independent, right? I guarantee these three are down for this. Why? Because it's a Trump-supported Republican policy. And if it's a Trump-supported Republican policy, Rogensack, Ziegler, and the bad Bradley, they're all down. The only question on the 4-3 ruling, is Hagedorn down with science and reality? And the liberal bloc, or is Hagedorn down with crazy? That is the only question before the court right now. The soul of Brian Hagedorn. Come back with us. It's a 2 for Tuesday. Try all the drugs. Dom did. More Devil's Advocates.
Oh, my arm. It's broken.
I don't care what drug.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus. Thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC. You don't know my name.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, welcome back from the Big Apple. I was a little surprised to hear you had attended a Broadway show.
Yes, yeah.
Which we went to go to?
MJ the Musical at the Neil Simon Theater off on Broadway. It was fantastic, man. You know, those productions are amazing, and I got to tell you. So it goes through some of the chronicles of Michael Jackson's life, from his childhood to his teenage years and his adult years. And so they have three different actors playing Michael, and these kids were singing their asses off. It was just amazing. And the set changes were great. The interactions, the back and forth, a lot to unpack. It was a really, really entertaining play. Musical.
Couldn't get tickets to R. Kelly, the musical, Dom?
No, I think they might have been selling those in the alley, Crudy.
You know, I was in the Big Apple of the Midwest over the weekend.
Oh, yeah? Where is that?
Wausau.
What?
Very metropolitan, Wausau.
Yeah,
It's sort of the gateway to the northern part of Wisconsin. I got to tell you, I was much more impressed by Wausau than a lot of the places I've been to.
Did you make it today's Bullet Dome, man?
But I looked them up. I looked them up. 75 years, they're still in business.
Awesome.
Here's one unusual thing. I'll tell you one Warsaw story. Wausau, Warsaw.
Like Warsaw.
Commercial. stayed at this, I don't know, Best Western, wherever my wife put me up. So my wife and I were up there, and we're checking out the cool new Bull Falls Radio, WXCO facility, right at 301 North 3rd Street, right downtown. You're going to love it. We're going to party up there, dude. But I went to a soda machine, and it took $10 bills. And, you know, soda in a hotel, it's like $3. So I'm like, all right, man, I'll get some loose change for my wallet. Never know when you got to tip someone. So I put in the $10 bill, and I hear nothing but a little bit of change coming up. I'm like, oh, God. And I'm thinking, now I'm going to get $7 worth of quarters, right? Only there should be more quarters coming out. So I'm feeling like, come on, I just got stiffed by this soda machine in Wausau. And I was saying such nice things about the city of Wausau. So I look down, Dom, and I got to tell you, they're silver dollars, but I am completely unaware that the U.S. currency has started issuing gold silver dollars, and they have like different faces. I got a Fillmore silver dollar that's gold, like a brassy gold.
You got like a dollar coin.
Yeah, I got a bunch of them here. I got like at least seven, right? And I think I went back later and bought another soda with the five. I got an Abraham Lincoln. I got you know, I don't have the best of eyes anymore. Yeah, Millard Fillmore. I got a gold Millard Fillmore silver dollar. You couldn't pick Millard Fillmore out of a police lineup. I mean, I look down, I'm thinking these are Chuck E. Cheese cube. You know, they're like tokens. I'm not sure if I can spin this. This might only be valid in Wausau. 844-967-2789. The city has been invoked, and Stacy has responded on behalf of Marathon County. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Hey,
from Wausau.
Hey guys, how are you today?
Good, excellent. I enjoyed your city. It's beautiful. I love the Christmas lights down in the downtown district, and enjoyed jalapenos and went to the steak place and Polito's pizza. I enjoyed the food especially, Stacy.
Yeah, it's a great place to live. I lived in Madison. I went to college in Madison, but I chose to move back here where my parents were after college, and I'm glad I did because it's a great place to live, work, raise children.
Well, Stacy, how do we turn that part of the state a little more blue? How do we get the truth out? WSAU, our righty whitey competitor, that's a big stick up there, Stacy. How do we get the truth out? I mean, how do we go kick them in the shins? What do we do to start getting the people of Marathon County to pay attention and stop voting red?
I don't know what to do. Good luck.
You got a Democratic mayor.
A dynamic progressive mayor
in Wausau. You guys elected a Democratic mayor. What happens when you leave town? Why is Marathon County red while Wausau is blue? I guess that's the better point.
Good question. Who knows? We could sit and debate this all day. Who knows? Politics, that's why. Who knows? So, I love your show, first of all.
Thank you. You have excellent taste.
Here's on this Supreme Court ruling that's supposed to come through with Gull versus Aurora.
Yes.
Here's a twist to it. What if someone is on an experimental drug? They're doing an experimental drug, a drug trial, that's per se through the UW-Madison, where they do a ton of them. And they live in Wausau. And they get hospitalized. And the hospital says, well, that's not a standard approved treatment. We're not going to give you that drug.
Excellent point, Stacy. Dom, how would you respond based upon your surety?
Well, yeah, and thanks for the call, Stacy. That's a good point. I don't know how that would work out. I would think that if you are on some sort of experimental, you know, trial of a drug, you signed off some liability, some waivers, and those kinds of things. And you probably are going to have a direct, you know, source to those drugs that would bypass perhaps a local hospital. So that would be my thought on how something like that would go down, Stacy. But I am certainly not a healthcare professional, but I think there would be ways to facilitate that without providing any additional liabilities to the local hospital.
Obviously, this circumstance that was being described, this was someone that was stricken in the hospital with COVID-19. This wasn't a chosen drug treatment where suddenly whatever disease they, you know, maybe it's a diabetes treatment, they're in receiving care because their blood sugar's out of whack, only they can't get their prescribed theoretical drug. COVID-19 was a different circumstance. Obviously, that wasn't planned for. And ivermectin, that was the horse paste, right? That cannot be the right answer. But it's going to be a 4-3. That is the right answer. Come back. Hardly ever wrong. 63% of the time, we get it right every time.
Time for the medicine.
I'm not allowed.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for... Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Let it slip, it covered, check. Talk to doctor now and share.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
One day it's bone-chilling cold. The next, the sun is shining. Hey, it's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The railroad crossing on Market Street in downtown Nakusa does not have working lights, and drivers need to be watchful for trains. Domtar Mill has hired the company CanDo to hold signs for traffic when trains are coming through, but residents say people aren't paying attention. Flaggers are doing the best they can to warn drivers when a train is coming, and some close calls have happened because of inattentive drivers. Market Street will be closed in the spring for 2 weeks while DOT crews install a permanent concrete surface for the railroad crossing. Republicans want to put bail on statewide ballots in April. The state Senate takes up an advisory referendum bill today. The proposed constitutional amendment would give Wisconsin judges more leeway in setting bail for dangerous suspects. The amendment is one of at least two proposed advisory questions seen as a way to drive voter turnout for conservatives running for the state Supreme Court. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight Thursday morning and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. Cloudy skies tonight with lows around 27. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs around 33 tomorrow. Snow likely tomorrow night, 27. Overcast. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
City of Wausau. You can always join us. Listen to us on WXEO Bull Falls Radio. And the newest addition to the Civic Media stable, the Death Star, Dom, WGBW. I tell you what, if you were looking for oldies today, and you turned on the greatest radio show ever, and you found us for the very first time, and you're listening from Green Bay, call us at 844-967-2789. You, Green Bayan. What are Green Bay people called?
I don't know. It's a great question, Crew. Green Bayans?
Green people. You Green Bayans, you go to the top of the list. But in the meantime, we'll take all comers from all ports of call worldwide. Civic Media app, take us with, right? All the Patriots do. The most important election. Nobody's ever heard of, Dom. We've heard of it. Our audience has heard because we keep telling them. The spring state Supreme Court race in Wisconsin has serious implications for abortion policy, voting rights, and more in a perennial battleground. I feel like we live in the fishbowl, Dom.
It never ends, man.
I mean, I'm literally broadcasting in a fishbowl right here. Come wave at me. Just don't do the CJ thing. When you slapped the glass that one night, that's startled me a little. A little. Anyways, the fine reporting at the Politico, control of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is on the ballot this spring, and the contest could decide the fate of abortion rights, redistricting, and more in a critical swing state. Should a more liberal-leaning jurist win the job in the April election, it would flip the balance of the state's highest court for at least 2 years, and there are significant policy outcomes hanging on the result. The court chose the state's political maps for the decade after the Democratic governor and Republican legislature deadlocked, and it's likely to hear a case challenging Wisconsin's 19th century law banning almost all abortions in the near future. Wisconsin's Supreme Court also decided major cases on election laws and voting rights before and after the 2020 presidential. So it's important. And anyways, more of the reporting here from Politico. This is a quote, our friend Ben Wickler, Democratic Party chair, great state of Wisconsin. The 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court race is the most important election that nobody's ever heard of. Well, give us a little bit of credit, Ben. I swear our audience is learning more and more each and every day. He goes on to say, it is implications that will affect national politics for years to come, really at every level of government. It's a lot of levels, Tom.
Crudy party organizations and ideological outside groups, both sides of abortion debate, for example, as well as labor groups, are planning to spend millions on advertising and activating extensive field networks. It will be the latest multi-million dollar judicial race in years, which reflect both the outsized importance of the outcome and the increasing focus on contests further down the ticket and away from Washington. The court currently has a 4-3 conservative majority, as Crudy always mentions, but one of the conservatives' held seats is open after Rogensack has decided not to seek another term. Further scrambling the politics, another conservative justice, Brian Hagedorn, who's elected 19, has sided with liberal justices in the past on some high-profile cases. It is becoming clear that Democrats want to use the Supreme Court as a vehicle to circumvent legislators who actually make policy decisions, said Mark Jefferson, executive director of the state Republican Party, taking through a range of additional issues that could be in play at the court, from school choice to photo ID for voting and gun control measures. If the liberals pick up another seat, they will have a rock-solid majority that never deviates from liberal activism, he said. Voters must first navigate an unusual primary before choosing the new justice. There are four judges running for the position, which is technically nonpartisan, with two on either side of the ideological divide. Former Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly, who was appointed to the spot by then-Governor Walker in 2016 before losing a 2020 election for a full term, and Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro, whose rose to prominence for her handling of the trial of the Waukesha Christmas 2021 parade attack, are running on the right. On the left, candidates are Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz. The top two finishers in the February 21 primary will face off in the April 4th general election. The split field raises a possibility that two ideologically similar candidates advance to the general election, as has happened in some recent congressional elections with all-party top two primaries. But most observers don't think that's likely. Crudy, I don't think that's likely.
That is not likely.
The unusual primary dynamics have left many major players on both sides of the sidelines for now. Both state political parties are remaining neutral between their ideologically aligned candidates in the primary, and so is Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat. One notable exception there is Fair Courts America, a group supported by GOP mega donor Richard Uihlein. It has pledged support and millions of dollars, quote unquote, to Kelly. And as a side note here, Crudy, did you hear that, Scott Walker's kid, who was in charge of one of the campaigns, has now left? Is this something new, or
did Alex get fired? Well, that must be some Big Apple gossip I somehow missed out on. You keep reading.
All right.
I'll do a little Googling.
I'll, You take on Kurt. Let me double check that.
Oh, come on, man. I already
flipped. All right. Assuming two judges on opposite sides of the ideological spectrum advance in the primary, the general election is expected to revolve around clear differences on redistricting and abortion policy, as well it should. On redistricting, the court ultimately selected a congressional map drawn by Evers, but it was one that leaned Republican anyway, after the court called for a new map that hewed as closely as possible to the old one. And Kurt, we know the old one was stacked against the Dems. A similar and more protracted fight also broke out over legislative lines, and more challenges to the maps could arise in future years, especially if the balance of the court flips. I think it is huge, Evers said in an interview on the sidelines of the Democratic Governors Association winter meeting last month, specifically citing the redistricting battle. The Supreme Court has leaned conservative on almost all the issues, so yes, this is a big deal. National party groups that are heavily involved in the redistricting fight, such as Republican State Leadership Committee and the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, are also planning to play in the race. The NDRC, Democrats' main national redistricting organization, is remaining neutral in the primary, but has started to reactivate its network in the state ahead of the general election. Former Attorney General Eric Holder, the organization's chair, is likely to travel to the state for the general election. Kurt, he's been on before. I imagine he'll come on again. Wisconsin's race has also taken on increased importance for the pro and anti-abortion rights group in the wake of the two decisions this month from Idaho and South Carolina state Supreme Courts, which recently heard cases over the state's abortion restrictions. A near total ban was upheld in Idaho, but a law preventing the procedure after about 6 weeks of pregnancy was thrown out in South Carolina. The issue could come in front of the Wisconsin court soon. State Attorney General Josh Call, a Democrat, has sued to overturn the state's 1849 law that makes abortion illegal in almost all circumstances. While that case is winding its way through the courts, abortion providers have stopped performing the procedure because of ambiguity around enforcement of the law.
You know, I've been,
Cody, my understanding is there's some abortion clinics have opened up over the border in Illinois from Wisconsin.
Yes, that is true. I've been looking up both the Wanker kids, the offspring of Wanker. Let's see. Matt Walker, WI. Let's see what he claims his job is. Owner and managing director at WalkerMediaAgency.com. That's got to be the Wanker's kid, right? I think so. There's Matt and Alex. I mean, how many? Well, that'd be unfortunate if some other poor bastard's named Matt Walker living in the state of Wisconsin trying to work in the media world. No, it's got to be the Matt Walker. He's sharing tweets from Charles Franklin and the like. Matt Walker claims his job is owner and managing director of WalkerMediaAgency.com. And the other Walker, and I think this is probably a demotion, Alex, working for Senator Bradley. I'm like, Bill Bradley still a senator? No, Julian Bradley, the one black Republican in the state of Wisconsin.
Ah, yes, I remember Julian. Of course, Wisconsin Supreme Court, this race coming up. A little bit more here.
So neither of the Walker boys are really gainfully employed, as near as I can tell.
Well, just like their dad. Hell, they're part of the Young America's Foundation, right? I mean, I'm sure they can find some work there. Planned Parenthood is planning to spend six figures on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race between national and local affiliate investments. The organization, in conjunction with another partner group, is planning voter education campaigns, get out the vote drive, and independent expenditure advertising in the general election. Both sides say the issue is expected to become much more prominent in the general election. Yet, think ahead of the primary, Wisconsin's Right to Life, another anti-abortion group, is working to educate its members on the importance of the race. But Gracie Skogman, the group's legislative and PAC director, said the group will be much more focused on the general election. A quote, "The unfortunate news is the majority of voters that we have interacted with are not aware of the stakes of the election, the candidates who are on the ballot, the views of the candidate, or the tie between our current pro-life statutes and the result of the election." Skogman said, "From our perspective, there's a long way to go. It's really not that difficult. Republicans are for forced government birthing, and Democrats are for allowing people to have the option to determine what to do with their own bodies." Any questions?
Dominic, as a footnote, saw my first two state Supreme Court yard signs today. Oh, driving really? Out to Richland County. Drove out to WRCE, News from the Center, and WRCO, our FM affiliate down there. And Richland Center on the way down, Highway 14, driving the back way. Two signs, maybe three, for Janet Protasiewicz, which Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet, the liberal candidate. So quite unusual in that, you know, that's starting to get out to rural Wisconsin. Two on the right, one on the left on the way back. So I think I saw three Judge Janet Protasiewicz signs on the way out.
I mean, obviously very important, as Wickler has pointed out, as Politico is taking the time to report on, and millions of dollars. But what my understanding, Kurti, the Wisconsin Republicans, they have a masterstroke. They got a plan to what? Push Republican turnout. Right?
They
get a statewide referendum.
Well, we'll get there in a minute, but let's get to the phones first. While there's a little bit of time in this segment, 844-967-2789. Again, people from Green Bay, you rise to the top. But Dee's calling for Madison. Welcome, Dee. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dee.
So, hey, guys. So, in going back to the Supreme Court decision that's coming down, I have to side with Dom because, of course, logic and reason. Because if they vote 4-3, and they say that a patient can walk in and demand that a physician provide them with whatever treatment they want, what about when a woman walks in and wants Plan B?
Yeah, good point.
Excellent point, Dee. But I don't think the judicial legislators, in this case the conservative bloc of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they always rule starting from the conclusion they want to reach, and then they try to back into the logic. And Dee, I don't think logic and rationale is going to keep this conservative bloc from voting for this. It's Trump's horse paste cure. So they're for it.
The other side of that is, of course, what is the limiting factor? I mean, they're not going to make a law specifically only for ivermectin. If something like this were to pass, that means everybody can go in and ask for everything, right?
Right. That's how I see it. Now, they, of course, could go back, just as Crute's saying, the logic factor for the conservatives is clearly out the window. But I actually think this is a nightmare scenario for them, that they have to vote on this. Because they're, from my point of view, there's no way, no matter which side they vote for, that they're winning.
Well, you make an excellent point, Dee, and I will point out, Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the election of Joe Biden in the state of Wisconsin, despite all the evidence and the recounts and the 21,000 votes. That was a 4-3, guys. Logic, reason? My ass, this is the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Come back, more devils.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, and even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth advocate programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Devil's Advocates, making radio again.
That's life.
That's what all.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, you alluded to some efforts by Wisconsin legislative Republicans. Let's not forget, they've gerrymandered themselves like a tick on a dog. They're not going anywhere unless there's an unfavorable ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court saying you can't be that partisan. That goes beyond the pale. So, in a little act of self-preservation, they're trying to influence the outcome of the Wisconsin nonpartisan Supreme Court election to happen here on April 4th. And they put forth some statewide referendums. Now, Dom, you told me and mentioned to me, and of course I mentioned it yesterday on the big show. In 2018, in the midterms, we saw legalized marijuana referendums worked very hard by local advocates, pushed them through city boards, county boards, and like 16, 17 different statewide, pardon me, community referendums around the state.
Not statewide.
And that actually reflected the will of local voters, and they were all overwhelmingly successful, meaning that's the will of the voters. Now, of course, Republicans block that. I'd love to see a statewide referendum on legalizing marijuana, but the Republicans got all sorts of malfeasance planned for a statewide referendum. Well, the earlier headlines today, Dom, were that Governor Tony Evers had put forth a proposed referendum. What about abortion? What about letting the voters of the state of Wisconsin have a say?
Right.
Well, the newest headline, Dom, Republicans blocked Dems' push to put abortion on the ballot. So that ain't going to happen. Then move ahead with the bail measure. That's their plan. Here are the politics behind the moves. Let's go inside the politics for a minute, Dom. In the first floor meeting of a new legislative session, the state Senate today advanced a constitutional amendment proposal that would expand a judge's discretion when making bail decisions and rejected a proposal put on the spring ballot to put on the spring ballot an advisory referendum asking voters whether abortion access should be restored in Wisconsin. So they got theirs on the ballot, but abortion will not be on the ballot because they don't want to know the will of Wisconsin voters. And also that might motivate some that wouldn't vote for a conservative that would rule to uphold the 1849
ban on abortion. They already know what the Wisconsin voters want, Crudy. Wisconsin voters want legal access to abortion. A majority of Wisconsinites do. They are not down with an 1849 law. And as we've known, as Wisconsin Election Commissioner disgraced Bob Spindell, it is the philosophy and act and effort of the Republican Party, the MAGAs, to suppress the votes. And anything they can do to suppress votes, they will do, because that is how they win.
Well, in this case, Tom, they're trying to encourage their voters, you know, that would come out. Let me read a little bit more of the reporting here. Republican lawmakers voted down a proposal from Evers and Democratic lawmakers to overhaul a resolution they ultimately passed Tuesday that would poll voters in the April 4th spring election on whether Wisconsin residents should be required to work for welfare benefits. Democrats instead wanted to survey voters on abortion policy. Now, the timing of all three measures taking up on Tuesday is aimed at, in part, boosting turnout in one of the most consequential Wisconsin Supreme Court elections ever. It says in a decade here. I read what's written. A race that could decide a number of high-profile issues in the state. And again, let's not forget, one of the issues that could come before this court is whether or not this tick-on-dog-like relationship, this gerrymandered, partisan gerrymandered of the Wisconsin legislature, and if you didn't know, it's for the benefit of Republicans.
Of course.
Well, they're going to determine whether or not that's legal. And probably should not be. Now, I don't know which case will come before the courts. I don't know the merits of the pleadings. But if I was in self-preservation mode, if I was Robin Voss, if I wanted to keep control over the Republican court that then would rubber stamp my malfeasance, well, hell, man, I got a little dog in this fight. I got a little self-preservation in mind. Just keep that in mind. A little context. The timing of all three measures taken up on Tuesday is aimed at, in part, boosting turnout for one of the most consequential Wisconsin Supreme Court elections in a decade. We mentioned that part. On Tuesday, the state Senate passed 23-9 a constitutional amendment proposal that would expand discretion for judges when making bail decisions. The proposal passed both houses last legislative session, again, completely under the control of Republicans because of the gerrymander. So don't think that adds any validity, the fact that it passed through the last gerrymandered legislative session. But anyways, it must pass them again this session to be put on the ballot. Democratic State Senator Brad Paff of Onalaska and Robert Wersch of Kenosha joined Republicans in supporting the proposal. It now heads to the State Assembly for approval. The bill's author, Senator Van Wongard, Republican of Racine, said the measure would empower, I tell you, Wisconsin judges to consider much more relevant facts when setting bail. This isn't a silver bullet. It doesn't fix all problems. But unless this is fixed, it's just grandstanding. Well, that's exactly what this is. Grandstanding, because it doesn't affect state law. This is a first step. Without this amendment, there is no second step. Step one, steal underwear.
Step three, profit.
Make profit. Step two, we don't know what step two is.
We'll figure it out.
Democrats argued the amendment was fast-tracked and purely political. It absolutely is. Chris Larson, Democratic senator from Milwaukee, said, "This is fear-mongering happening in the criminal justice system." Alina Taylor said the approach sounds good, but is a Band-Aid approach. She called for more funding for the criminal justice system. Now, again, when they actually get through the primary, and you've got the completely unpalatable, apparently even to many on the right, Dan Kelly, this pompous, contemptuous former wanker appointee. I mean, he got crushed. He lost by 163,000 votes to Kurofsky. You can see why they might seek an alternative. But you got this mega donor U-line that's going to throw millions behind Dan Kelly. And what is the support of Dan Kelly? Well, he's tough on crime. Unlike his ultra-liberal opponent, Jennifer Doro, question mark, who's soon going to be characterized, at least during this primary process, by Uline's outfit as being for no cash bail. Doro is for bail reform. Doro's on the wrong side of this issue, according to many conservatives. So she's going to be castigated, perhaps. Maybe not in the racial tones that, you know, our buddy Mandela Barnes was, but they're going after Jennifer Doro. Whoever wins, it's going to be a damaged candidate, either by their last elective cycle, think Kurofsky v. Kelly, or by the primary. So I'm looking forward to this one. This should be fun.
It should be fun.
The battle for the soul of the great state of Wisconsin. And we'll bring you a front row seat. More Devil's Advocates, hour two, the happier happy hour. It's a Tuesday. It's a twofer. You get both of us for the price of one. More Devil's Advocates.
And I. Democracy matters.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help,
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.